Big C.
Yes.
Yeah, we got a little pre-control set up here. Here she goes.
Broadcasting to the world. Broadcasting to the world.
BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul. Talk radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul. BlakeRadio.com.
I think it's time for some prayer.
I like your style. Dear Lord, thank you for everything. Today, yesterday, Big C, our friends, our family. We ask you that you not so much give us what we want, but what we need. And we need you every minute, every hour. Thank you for being Americans. Thank you for being alive and healthy. Thank you for little things that we so largely take for granted. Thank you for grace and mercy, blessings unknown, unseen, and all undeserved. In the name of your darling son, Jesus, amen. I guess without further ado, Big C, it's time to go to the number one African-American sportscaster in radio history. Larry Hardesty, bring me on, my brother.
Welcome to Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley on the Blake Radio Network. On each and every show, Doc takes you inside the world of sports to hear from the movers, shakers, and decision makers. I know you thought there were seven wonders of the universe, where here's the eighth, Doc Stanley.
Doc Stanley, Sports in Depth on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Solar Channel, Sports in Depth is the show. The crew was all coming in. Hatwell Weston Jr., Justinio Baby, Lois Mel, Little Coco Smith Jr., Lady A, Sea Wings, The
Who. We're right now at the post, and we're going to talk. Vito.
I'm in, Doc.
Okay, that's it. Yeah. We've got some great jazz music we're going to be hearing during the course of the night, a jazz special from the post, and they're coming in. And we're just going to go. Vito, you got a minute? You got... Oh, there. I was all set up.
Oh, man.
Music. Hold on a second. Hey, Sal! Sally! Can they lower that music? Okay, I'll take the guys inside here. Vito, come.
Live on location.
Vito, your full name.
What?
Your name.
Okay.
And you're from Italy?
Right.
And how long have you been playing your organ?
I play organ from 20 years ago.
Okay, and your name again?
Vito Di Modugno.
And you're from Italy?
Yeah.
What part of Italy?
From Bari.
Bari. And how long are you going to be here in the United States?
Please?
How long are you going to be here in the United States? Quanto tempo in New York?
I stay in New York 20 days.
Mm-hmm. Now, you play the organ?
Yes.
Now, why the organ? What about the organ made you like it and want to play it?
Why
not the drum? Why the band? Why did you like the organ?
Organ trio?
Yeah.
Organ trio with the guitar and drum.
Does anybody else in your family play instruments or just you?
Please.
I'm just talking to you. No, I'm talking. I just want this in a long time. Charlie, we got him? He's coming through good? Hello?
Yeah.
Big C. Charlie? Did we catch Vito?
Yes.
Charlie? You gotta stay on top of me now.
Doc.
Yeah, okay, I got you, Dusty. I just wanted to talk to Vito. But Charlie, are you here?
I'm here.
Yeah, okay, you gotta speak. Did we get Vito okay?
Yeah, we did.
You got the interview? Okay, thanks, Vito. Okay, because he's here for a month. He's one of the legendary organ players from Italy, and he's playing tonight, and they're giving me the cup. We just want to get him for a couple of minutes, okay? Thanks, Vito. Oh, thank you. Okay. And now we're going to get. Okay. Now, what is it that you play?
No.
Okay. What's your name now?
Francesco. Come
on, Francesco. Francesco. Now, Francesco, you play with Vito.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, here.
My name is Francesco Lomagistro.
And you're a drummer?
I'm a drummer.
Why did you start playing the drums?
Because when I was a child, I like to play with,
hands.
Yeah, yeah, and I started to play drums 16 years. Yeah. And I started to love jazz about 18, 19 years ago.
Why jazz? What was it about jazz?
I don't know. I don't know. Because I have no parents that would play all the... No. For my home, yes. For records, this is a real passion for me.
Do you have any jazz idols?
Sure. I like the 16-year period, all the records of Blue Note, like... Jet McSanger, Sora Silver, and Miles Davis.
Really?
Yeah, I love it.
I opened the show with the John Coltrane, so he's one of
Yeah, I love him. I love his period from like a period like Moment Notice or in the quintet with Miles Davis and in period with, Jim Gibson, Jim Jones.
Yeah, I know. You familiar with him?
Sorry?
Where are you from? Your country?
Italy.
What part?
South of Italy, Taranto, Puglia.
Now, how long are you going to be in New York?
This is the fourth time for me.
Fourth time?
Yeah, and I stay here till the 23rd of April.
Okay.
Yeah, about 20 days.
You like New York?
I love New York.
You like Italy better or New York better?
Italy for something, for something in New York for many other things. That's
thanks
the truth. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye. Doc Stanley, sports enough. And, and Miles Davis always talked about that, how, Dusty, you're here with me, so chime in.
Yeah.
How, Italy and Germany, the foreign countries had also an appreciation and respect for jazz that,
So was Germany.
Huh?
So was Germany when I was in the
army. I'm just saying the whole European age is a whole different concept. I mean, Miles always talked about the fact that, kids 4 and 5 years old comprehended, understood jazz, where in this country they didn't. Dusty, I'm going over here now, and Doc Stanley, Sports Network with the Blake, ready to bring those Sports Network for the show. And I need this gentleman's name again one more time. Your name?
Ruben Wilson.
Dusty.
Yes.
Do you remember Ruben Wilson?
Ruben Wilson is a jazz man, but
he's a jazz man, and Ruben's birthday today, but more importantly than that, Ruben at one time fought Floyd Patterson.
Oh, okay.
By Lord in heaven.
Okay, we're going to put Ruben on. I'll ask him some questions. He'll talk to Ruben.
Do you fight him in the army, too, or fight him pro?
That's what I was about to ask him, Doc.
Happy birthday.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Now, you sparred with Floyd
Patterson? Oh, yeah, I was his sparring partner.
How long?
For about a week, we did it when he came out to California. This was just before he won the title.
Oh, the first time?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, this was the first time, yeah. Because actually, Floyd was about, he was a young heavyweight. But I was 3 months younger than him.
Really?
Yeah.
Did he
step on a youngster? Yeah, he's taking on a youngster. But anyway, We had some good sparring sessions. He was really a very effective puncher, but even at that time, I think they kind of rushed him, because he was not really truly a heavyweight. He was really a light heavyweight.
Middleweight.
Well, he didn't win that. Yeah, he did middleweight. Yeah, in the Olympics. That's right. So he was. Floyd was a very quick fighter. I don't think I ever boxed anybody that had hands faster than Floyd.
Really?
Yeah,
really?
He's very fast. This is for a big guy, Anyway,
Mark Smith Jr. here. The thing about, that you mentioned about Floyd, if I may, is my old boxing PAL coach, Richie Hill, used to fight him every year in the finals of the Golden Love.
Oh, yeah.
Richie Hill. Oh, my Lord.
Richie Hill would go on to become the president and chairman of PAL Boxing.
Oh,
so he used to tell us about Floyd all the time. He used to say, oh, fight him in the Golden Gloves finals every year.
Uh-huh. Yeah, Floyd was a great fighter.
And like you said, talking about the hand speed, incredible hand speed.
Yeah.
Way back in the day. And a disciple of Customato, I believe.
Yeah, he was really, it was true. He had incredible speed. And he wasn't really that big of a guy either. And he had pretty good power.
Oh, he was
power.
A small heavyweight.
Yeah, he was very small. Well, he was truly a light heavyweight. If you were to check the history, what happened, as soon as Marciano retired, that is when Floyd became a heavyweight. But before that, he didn't do that at that time, you know, when he was, Rocky Marciano was champ. So
yeah.
They didn't put Floyd in there with him, which was the right thing, you know, to wait. But as soon as Marciano retired, then they moved Floyd into the heavyweight division. And then he it's the rest is history. So he was a great fighter. But now he's gone.
Right.
And did you say you were a sparring partner for Floyd?
Huh?
Did you say, sir, that you indeed... I did a lot of sparring with Floyd.
A lot of stars, you say?
Sparring with Floyd. Did you?
No, not a lot. I just did it for one occasion. When he came out to Los Angeles to fight a pretty good light heavyweight out there at that time. And they wanted to give him the best sparring partner available at that time. And at that time, it seems like they thought I was the best one for him. So that's how it came about.
Did you ever have a chance? What did you think of the peekaboo? I've seen some of those old fights. Going to the peekaboo style.
Well, you know the thing about that particular style, it was natural for him. So he did it well. You know, it was just a normal thing for him to box that way.
Oh, I see. Okay.
You know, so you know everybody's a stylist to some extent. You know?
Yes.
So that was his thing.
Well, the reason that I asked you that, sir, is I know that he was kind of a disciple of the late, great Customato, who, as you know, also handled Dyson.
I got to go, man.
Okay.
I'd like to talk to you another time.
All right.
Okay. Thank you.
Peace out.
Okay, Dusty.
Yeah.
Yeah, Sammy, you know, you can carry with the Doc Stanley show here. Let's stay here to some sound. But Vito, we got Vito. The drummer, that's him on the drums. Listen to the loud. Doc Stanley, sports is up on the black men in the world. They're alive. They're kicking it. Let's hear some harmonica one time. Harmonica man, please. Vito's doing this thing. They're alive here. Yeah, we're trying to get some interviews. I wanted to catch it before they went live, but that's some of the music. I'm going to catch the guitar player, but we spoke to the drummer. That's him on the drums. Vito, live from Italy, is on the organ. He's not an organ player. We'll talk to the harmonica buddy later, and the man on the guitar, who was came into playing the guitar because his dad brought a cowboy, and he was influenced by it. But we're going to go out here and talk to another one of the great legends here. So don't move. In the background is the sounds of jazz, but let's go and talk to the one and only Mr. Celino Clark. Mr. Clark, you got some time?
Huh?
You got a couple minutes?
Yes.
Okay. That's Terry Sports up on the Blake Radio Rainbow Sports Network show. Mr. Celino Clark, another legendary organ player. So we're going to pull him over to the side. You know, DJ Shure is supposed to be here. Carl's here with me. Because he's here right now, but I always going to depend on Dusty. Did Nelson Jr. call in yet?
I'm here, Doctor.
Okay, and did we get Cedric? Okay, Mr. Brown. Okay, what we're going to do with the sounds in the background, the one and only, Lord of the Lives, Mr. Cleo Clark, is going to join us. I'll ask some questions, and then he will answer them. And then, Dusty, you will keep quiet, because there's a good chance this could be the last time you're on this show, buddy. You know what I mean?
All right.
Ladies and gentlemen,
joining
us now, the legend of August, Mr. Celino Clark.
No, just hold the phone. Just hold the phone. I'm
going to ask you a question. Mr. Clark, thanks a lot for being on the show. Thank you for being on the show.
Oh, thank you.
No.
How did you get started, and why the organ?
Well, I was the first of all, I was a saxophone player.
Okay.
And from there, I transferred to the Hammond organ. It was the transition within that time. And, of course, my grandfather was a professor at Lincoln University, and he taught me music at an early age. But when I came to New York, I heard Jimmy Smith, and I said, hey, man, I got to learn that instrument. And the rest is history.
Travel-wise, you've been all over the world.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Japan, Europe, South America, you name it, I claim it.
Have you been to Brazil?
No, I'm supposed to be going to Sao Paulo.
Yeah.
I think some parts this summer, during the summer.
Yeah.
My publicist has already told me, and all my papers are down there to be certified, and I'm coming in to be certified.
Have you found that when you went abroad, there was a high appreciation and respect and acknowledgement of jazz in America?
I'm here to tell you, every time I go abroad, they lay the red carpet. They lay the red carpet out for me, and I tell you, we don't get the same accolades here in America as we do abroad. And it's a shame because they appreciate the music, the art form, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Okay, Dusty, go ahead. You're going to ask him a question.
Yeah, but...
Hello?
Isn't it a fact?
I can't hear her.
Hello?
I have to maybe go in here. Hello?
Yeah, can you hear me?
They're pretty loud. Hello?
Yeah. Hello? Can you hear me?
Let me try to go outside, see if I can hear you. Hello?
Hello?
Yes.
Now I can hear you.
Give me that. Okay, this is Destino. Isn't it a fact that as beautiful as jazz is, and I'm a jazz man from way back, somehow or other, just like a fade or fashion, jazz began to die somewhere around the 60s, mid-50s, 60s here in New York. All the jazz clubs were flourishing, and then all of a sudden they seemed to die, and a lot of the jazz bands like the MJQ, Ahmad Jamal, and all them folks were just not getting any more work. And guys like Dexter Gordon, Chet Baker, all them guys went to Europe where they were treated like kings. Where they were treated like kings, and jazz flourished over in Europe at that time, because here in New York it just seemed to be dying out, and there were the jazz clubs were going. Now they're trying to revive.
Only in America.
Right.
Okay. Because if we go abroad, if you will, if you go to Europe, America, I think the accolades are more. They set out the accolades. I mean, you can
right.
More. It's more appreciative. They're more appreciative
right.
there than they do in this country.
Yeah.
And I'm doing a thing tomorrow. You might not. I mean, you wouldn't believe this, but I'm playing with a 21-piece orchestra tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock for the teenagers from different high schools.
Wow.
And they are up at the Jazz Standard starting at 11 o'clock in the morning.
Wow.
And I tell you, man, it's such a shame that our kids are not being they're not getting the music that was back in the day. You're getting a lot. It's a lot of garbage out here now. They press buttons to get beats, and the computerized music. Hey, man, that's not authentic.
Right,
I'm here to tell you. I on the internet, I get so many questions about the music today, and all the people that really qualify to play the real music and who appreciate the music, they say there's too much garbage out here now. That's why our kids are running crazy.
Right.
Jazz is more of a sophisticated audience.
It's more
sophistication in jazz than you do with this other garbage. I'm not going to call any names.
Right.
But the kind of crap that's being portrayed and being disseminated amongst the people, our young generation today, they're losing it.
Right. But
that's unfortunate.
Are you satisfied with the way Lincoln Center's having his jazz programs.
Yeah, I played there already.
I played
there at the Dizzy's Club. I've done
right.
that already.
And Georgie
Francesco and myself, yeah.
Right.
But it's such a shame, man. We're not getting the adequate support
right.
as they're getting for this garbage. I mean, if you pick up the newspaper, look what happened to Chris Brown the other day.
Yeah.
And what are we talking about here? And, you know, if I say anything, then it's going to be a problem.
Right.
So my name be splashed all over the world with the rap artists, the other kind of artists, whatever so-called music. And then
right.
these guys are not musicians, man. They're
okay.
not.
Right, right.
They're not musicians. But
so
anyway, I've got to go run back to the stage, and I really appreciate it talking to you.
Right. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it. I mean, at least we got Birdland. We got Lincoln Center. When we are people trying to keep it alive, but like I'm saying, is we don't get these clubs anymore. What is your last question? What is your feeling about Latin jazz?
About what?
About Latin jazz.
Are you saying Met jazz?
No,
Latin jazz.
Latin jazz.
I love Latin jazz. Are you kidding me?
Right.
I love it. And
yeah.
the thing about it, and listen, I maintain a jazz venue every Sunday for the last 13 years.
Wow.
I've got at the American Legion in Harlem.
Uh-huh.
And now they're calling me the ambassador of jazz in Harlem. But, you know, that's no big deal. If you go on the internet, go to YouTube or you go
yeah.
to... Put my name in, and it'll come up. You can see it. But what I do every Sunday, I got a lot of young musicians coming by who appreciate
yeah.
the jazz and what I'm doing. And I've been doing it for 13 years. I got several proclamations from the city council,
right?
The borough president, and the last one I received was from Charlie Rangel.
Oh, well,
for what I'm
great,
doing in
yeah.
the community, we'll keep
right.
maintaining the jazz and bringing it back to Harlem.
Yeah.
Where it used to be.
Mm.
Okay. So I'm going to turn you back to the brother, and it's a pleasure talking with you.
Same here. Thank you.
A pleasure.
And he has
Absolutely.
My number. Anytime you want to really talk to me, sit down, or we can do it on the telephone as we're
right.
doing now. It would be my utmost pleasure to do so.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it, man.
Thank you so
much.
Alive.
I got to
okay.
run back to the stage.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Doc Stanley, Sports and Death, there's a living legend. And I know Dusty was going to, as soon as I turned my back, ask all the questions. And but, you know, Dusty, it was so great that you came in. And that's the panel, too. You got something to say. This is a great little spot. The first time, man, the music's live. We're going to go back in and listen to some of the live music. But, you know, you asked some questions, the Latin jazz. You asked
yeah.
some questions about the other accusations. And it was just on the money. Let's go back and listen to some of the live music. Let's catch up with me and do a Moody Moose for Love. Live here. Doc Stanley Sports and Death with the Blake Radio. Listen to the sound. Don't say a word.
Stanley, why don't you put yourself together? Together, baby, do the very soon. My heart's on fire. You and me.
Oh, wow. James Moody. Oh, there I go.
I'm singing.
Oh, man.
Well, I'm singing. But Vito keeps it going. But we're going to get my jazz man. That's Vito on the organ. The drum on the drums. Let's get the guitar players here. We'll get them too. And we just had a... We got a young lady here too. So we keep it going, keep it kicking if we can. The sounds of music in the background continue to bring out some of the artists that are playing here today. Like I said, I'll probably take a break and let you take a second charge this up. But I've got some of the other artists that were on the show tonight, and I just want to ask them to come out. With the background music in the background. Yeah, we have, what's your name again, Sharon
Fisher.
Sharon Fisher Dusty, she did it in the memory of Ella, in the memory of Carmen McRae. We're going to have one for a minute. Hold on just a second.
What's your name again?
Hi, this is Sharon.
Okay, Sharon. Hi, Sharon.
How you doing?
Oh,
Sharon?
I've been singing since I'm 15. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What got you into being a singer and the jazz?
Oh, records, hearing records when I was young, and, of course, imitating singers, some of the greatest.
Who imitating?
Oh, my goodness, like Dinah Washington, Carmen McRae, yeah, Sarah Vaughan, Nancy Vaughan. Wilson. Well, I do have my own thing now, too, but of course, you know.
Tell us about it. Well,
I sang with so many good musicians. I worked with such players like Harold Vick, Herman Foster, Junior Cook, Bill Hardman, even Ram Ramirez, who wrote Love a Man for Billie Holiday.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, people say I sound good. If I sound good, it's because of who I worked with. You know, you're as good as who you work with.
Well, you're being modest. You
know, no, I'm not being modest.
You gotta have the job. You gotta have the job.
I adore the musicians, and I thank them. You know, most of them are gone now, but they're in my heart, and I remember them and love them all.
Have you done any traveling? Have you done worldwide traveling?
Not worldwide, but within the United States.
What's the place you've been? Where?
Oh, a lot of work in California, Washington, you know, like that.
Mm-hmm. Thanks
for
me.
Oh,
thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Hold on. You got a question, Dusty?
Yeah, did she ever meet Gloria Lynn or Betty Carter?
Hold on. Okay, one quick question, and we got to jump to this. Okay, hold on. Here she is.
Yeah.
Okay.
Did you ever meet Gloria Lynn or Betty Carter?
Yes, I certainly did meet Gloria Lynn, because the musician I worked with was her accompanist for many years, Herman Foster, and he was on all her good albums with the Earl Mates trio. So yes, I met Gloria quite a few times, and she was one of the greatest singers ever.
Are you kidding me? She would kill me, man. She sings, man.
And she's still out there singing.
She's still out there with her vocals.
Oh yes, yeah. Very.
What do you think about Nancy Wilson?
About who?
Nancy Wilson.
Oh, she's wonderful. Mm. I mean, what can I say? She's just. I've always idolized her. I love Nancy Wilson. Nobody like Nancy. Fancy
right.
Nancy.
Sophisticated. I have a question. In a male-dominated field, what do you think has been the impact of such jazz greats of past year? Billie Holiday, Sarah Vaughan, contributed to the success and the rise of jazz during its high time of the 40s, 50s, and 60s.
Oh, yeah. Well, those were the good times. It's not like that out here anymore. You know, you don't hear the quality in the music like it used to be, you know, and that's a shame. But we people who were in the real thing will always remember that and have that memory.
Right.
So, and of course, there are great, great artists now that right where we are now, who are very great. So we still have some.
Right.
Would you say now?
I can't hear
you. How you say that the music comes from? Oh, that was
okay.
Me, Doc.
Oh, who's that? Who's Cedric? Okay.
Yeah.
Here's a quick question. I gotta get. I don't want this to fall out. But okay, here she is. Cedric C. Wings. Here she is. One more time. Then we got another gentleman in the wings. Another question, and then close it up because I've got to charge this up. So you're hanging here. Here she is. Let her go. She's lovely. She's pretty. Don't keep her all night. One more question. Sea Wings.
Okay.
One quick question. Would you say now that, you know how they say good music comes from the heart? Do you
right.
think it comes now more from the computer than the heart like it did back in
definitely.
You know, the early days?
Definitely, yes. Yeah, it's... Now, you know, when I was young and I was singing, you know, I never needed charts. I never needed arrangements. But, of course, I worked with a few musicians who were blind, so I didn't need them. But in general, you know, most singers, you just call off the tunes and the musicians
right.
know it. Now, you know, and everything is on the computer. Everything is kind of robotic. But
right.
like I said, there are still some very good musicians. it's not what it was. You
absolutely,
know,
I totally agree with that. With all the music,
yeah,
for the most part.
Yeah, well.
With jazz being one.
But it's great. What's going on in here is great.
Well, we just want to thank
some
you.
Some great musicians in here.
We just
want to
thank
Bill
you
Wurtzel,
for keeping it alive.
And Salinas, he's some organ players. So Reuben Wilson. And now you're going to speak to a great singer, a very good blues singer,
who is
Cecil Morgan. He's well known for what he does, so you got to speak to him.
All right. All right. Thank you very much.
Right, here we go.
Yes. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Yes. What's your point out? Huh? Yes.
I have a question for you, Cecil.
What's that?
In the States, have you performed at the jazz festival in New Orleans?
No, I haven't been there.
I haven't performed there.
Right.
Okay.
Everywhere else. A lot of other.
Oh, the Blue Note and things like that.
Well, that thing with I was singing with the jazz and Harlem Blues and Jazz Band for. The male singer for them with Laura Watson for about 10 years when they was at place in the Village, and I've worked all over with different all the other bands, big bands, Harlem with what's his name? I can't think of these people's name. It's Howard Johnson's big band and you name it. I work with a lot of big bands, and I got my own band called the Black Knights, Black Knight Band, and I had it for about 20 years. Worked with Lennox Lounge all over, David Graham all over New York. And I have a CD and a DVD out on my own, and with my band. And I'm right now working with Sharon and me doing working together, doing some things at the Folk Museum in Harlem. I mean, the Folk Museum down in Manhattan on 66th Street. We work with Bill, we do a thing with Bill Wurtzel. And, all over. Been singing B.D. King's. I worked with B.D. King's. You name it, I did it. But I sing jazz and blues and R&B. So, whenever I can get, But,
well, I just found out I'm traveling to Aruba the week of Memorial Day weekend, and I didn't even know there was a jazz festival going on there until I happened to research it the other day.
Yeah,
it's a jazz festival. I believe that whole weekend.
In Aruba?
In Aruba, yes.
But
I still think that jazz is probably the platform, and it started and with the way the musicians are, from the musicians to the singers, I think was probably the founding music of all other music that you hear today. I mean, if you really look at it from rap
to
heavy metal, I mean, I think everyone has taken from, sampled something from jazz.
Yeah, they take it from the, well, the blues or the roots, though. They just get it from the roots of the blues. Because it's all, it's just speed it up, but did it another way and changing tempos, but it all comes from the blues. That's why a lot of jazz Indians always say, give me a blues Indian, because that holds it together. So, you don't be the ass kind of basis. A lot of them big bands did that. Ellington, Dawson, yeah. See, I've been singing a long time, what it is right now.
Do you have a favorite
two or three songs that you like?
Come down and play that. That's a DVD. I'll give it to you.
Yeah.
I'll give your man a DVD if you want to, you know, you want to hear. That's my band. But I do a lot of things different now, you know, but I mean, that's a DVD, though. Yeah, I don't know. So,
Well, I wish you all the best in helping keeping jazz alive and well.
Well, and, yeah, definitely. You can definitely find me in New York doing something. And I work with the Jazz Foundation, too. I work at nursing homes, all kinds of things. Whatever I can do, you know.
We just want to thank you again for keeping a legend going and letting me know this
okay.
is history to us.
All right.
Our musical history, and we appreciate it.
Yeah, come. Thank you.
You're welcome.
My pleasure. What's your name?
This is Love
Wings.
Okay. Here's your man back.
Okay. Doc Stanley's forces up. Who was that just talking? Okay, he just gave me a CD, so thanks a lot. You know, they're kicking it. In the background, I've got, you hear the band kicking again. Delino, who was with us before, now he's on the organ. Let me get up there, you hear some of him. Then I'm going to let you do some sports, and we'll come back and talk some more to the crew. But, the legendary Delino, live! Hold on real quick before we go. I'll charge up with Styles. We'll talk to Styles and it's on the way back.
Doc Stanley, Sports Network on the Blink, right? Everybody knows that Sports Network is the show. Did the show show to be a Dusty?
Yeah.
Rudy?
Yes.
Did anybody else call in? It's just you three guys?
I think it's just us three.
Okay, so what we're going to do, looking at the time now, let him close out in the background. You hear the sounds of, hold up, wait a minute, maybe I can get him. Let me see if I can catch him before we go.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to do some sports. Mets won tonight, the Knicks are in the playoffs, and I guess it's going to rain. That's it. Okay, Dusty, let's 15 minutes. Let's do.
Hey, Doc, can you hear me?
Oh, is this Lady A?
Hey, Doc.
Oh,
she's
probably
going to
the show now.
And also,
Maddie
says adios.
Well, what we're doing jazz tonight, but let's talk boxing. That's 15 minutes. You know what? I'm going to charge up. In the background, you hear the sounds. That's the game. That fight card. Did that fight card happen tonight yet?
Again, would you say Doc?
The fight card, did that happen yet?
Yeah, the fight, I'm waiting on Eric Morales
and
my daughter.
Okay, I'm going to charge up for the next, I'm not going to charge up. Okay, you've got the thing, May 7th, Pacquiao and Sugar Shane Mosley. We've got
next
some,
week is Mosley and, May 7th.
May 7th. So, time goes fast enough. Don't push it too much faster. Okay, what we're going to do? I'm good. Hold tight. Don't move. Don't move.
Doc, you know what I'll do? I'll call you back when I get to the club.
JDA, are you there?
I am there. I've been listening to you guys for the last 5 minutes or so. Sounds great. The music sounds wonderful. Selena Clark is on the organ, correct?
Okay, with the sounds of jazz in the background and me with a platform to a little bit quieter, that stands for the Big C. Give us that break and let's come back and talk to Sweet Science since we got the Sweet Lady A with us and Rooney. So, Big C,
indeed, we're here, doctor.
Let's break it down and we'll talk a little bit boxing and then we'll go back and talk to a couple of the others. You know, this show's tonight. That my panel is a panel of intellects. To make that transition, I'm listening and I'm thinking it is Dusty hogging up the air and it's Sea Wings. So now I've got Sea Wings, Dusty, and Rooney all on the same page with Dusty. But on the real side, you know, for you guys to make that transition, to make that adjustment, I mean, Dusty saw David and Goliath. He was at that fight. You know, he was there. The original three blind boys, he was there. But you know, to come in and you know, I'm listening, and Sea Wings has got the young lady. And you know, these people are late. We've got to get down here another Saturday and everybody to get down here. And Vito's from Italy, the young drummer. And then and Dusty, you and Sidney asking those questions. Where how the appreciation of jazz has never been appreciated in America as it is in foreign countries. But Dr. Kelly spoke to Sea Wings, Lady A, and Big C. Give us a commercial break. We'll come into some boxing, and then we'll come back and talk later. Dr. Kelly, what's up on the break? Go ahead, Lady A.
Let me call you when I get to the club.
Oh, this is Lady D.
I'm on my way.
We'll wait for you. Look, Lady D, that's the first lady of entertainment, lady who brought me and Dusty into the promise of both not only the Blake Gritty, but that's our radio, the Heartbeat of African Heartbeat. No way, but y'all okay. Lady D, we're waiting for you. Dr. D, what's the devil?
All right, a shout out to
the music's live.
And you'll hear
Dusty,
in about
it's your
15,
turn.
20 minutes.
Okay, good.
Okay.
Give us a commercial break and let's talk boxing for a minute or two, if I may. If I can get a minute or two in on my own show. My goodness, they're ruthless. They're ruthless, my crew, but I love them. Doc Stanley, Sports and Network on the break. Are they right, bro?
And I was watching Robin Guerrero fighting this Michael Cassidy's, the group. He finally beat Miguel Cotto.
Did he win or lose?
He finally beat Miguel Cotto. Do you get the message?
No, what happened soon? You started talking.
He fought. No, he fought.
The music came back on. The music came back on.
Before one of Miguel Cotto's brothers, Jose Miguel Cotto, and he pitched the shutout. Paulie Malignaggi is fighting now. He's under the golden boy. He left the Bella.
He left the Bella. I'm trying to find out what brought that about. Anybody that leaves Lou the Bella, I'm suspect of. Lou's a great.
Well,
there were
rumors that he was badly trained, or he wasn't promoted right for the Amir Khan law.
There's nothing he could have done in that Khan fight to win. Lou took this guy, let this guy sleep on his own couch. This guy from another, he seemed like he's being an ingrate, like Hopkins was. I don't understand the more money, but Lou de Bella, Lou de Bella made this guy. Paulie Malignaggi was a nothing at best. What is he, Dusty? And you know for yourself. And you know too, C Wings, Lady A. The guy is a club fighter at best. Come on.
Well, let me tell you, I don't know whether because Miguel Cotto is just a sparring partner mentality, man, but he looked like a world beater today. And with the added beef of fighting 147 pounds, Paulie Malignaggi looked pretty good. I mean, I was surprised, but now, then also the fact that with the Golden Boy promotion, he's going to get more fights in California.
I understand that. Just don't badmouth Lou de Bella. That's what I'm saying. Hold on for a minute, real quick. I got your Monica playing here.
Yeah, baby.
What's your name?
JD.
JD, how long you been playing the Monica?
About 15 minutes.
Really? No, seriously. I'm
I got here at 7:30.
No, so, have you always played the monitor?
All my life, bro.
Why the
monitor?
Why not?
No, it's small, fits in your pocket, you don't need a lot of equipment.
That's
but
right.
When I first started playing it, people threw rocks at me. I got very good at ducking, yeah. Now, they pay money to see me. Same people, we threw the rocks.
Were there idol influences that...
Later on in life, everybody and their mother. James Cotton, Willie Dixon, Paul Butterfield, you name it. Too many to name, bro. Junior Wells. Damn, you put me on the spot. Charlie Musselwhite. I could go on for like an hour.
He's on the name, but he's kicking him in, though. He put him on the spot. Doc said he's for the music. What is it about the jazz and the blues that has engulfed you?
It's life, bro. It's life. You feel it or you don't. If you don't feel it, you dead. That's simple. You don't feel it, there's something wrong with you.
Now, you originally from the Bronx?
I'm from the Bronx. I'm sitting there with these jazz guys to let them know harmonica just ain't blues. I can play jazz. I put you a spot in Beethoven's Fifth. You got to hear me do some fucking Gloria Gaynor, bro. I'll tear it up. Will you? Yes, yeah, I will. And I should have changed that super lock. I should have taken back in that key. Tear it up. The horns ain't got nothing on me. Whatever you want to hear. You want to hear some hillbilly, I left my shoes home, I'm walking on my fingers music, I'll play that too. Whatever the groove is. Good music is what makes you tap your foot. It's all good. I feel it all. That's the soul talking. That's music. That's why you feel it, because you got a soul too. JD, Johnny Durante. They call me JD because I can't remember the whole name.
Well, hey, Dizzy, you got the right hairstyle, baby. God damn, JD in the house. Hey, JD. Boy, you got the right JD. God damn it. What's the good? The good in the background. They're still kicking, baby. JD said he's making JD because he can't remember the whole name. Doc Stanley, Sports Deck on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soul Tales Sports Deck for this show with the Sam H. Young Post number 620, American Legion. And they got some. The music has been great tonight. Am I right, gang?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, the music has been spoken. It's live. We've got some of the legendary musicians. This is the spot that he says that we can do what we want down here. We were talking boxing, Malignaggi. We were talking the card tonight. Continue it, and we'll be back when Deirdre comes in. I guess we'll get back to. But I just saw JD. And like I said, he just sat in with him tonight. And but you know, Dusty, this is what they call a jam session. What we got to do, gang, we got to get you down here. Get everybody down here live. It's no cover. $5 for a meal, $2.50 for a drink. That would be waived, of course. And not Dusty to pick the tab up. You know, ain't no thing with a chicken wing. But Dusty, one more time.
I feel like they need a percussionist, man. I'm ready to fly with my hands, man.
Hmm. The Yankees won, the Mets won. It's no wonder why it's going to rain tomorrow. Am I right, gang?
I like the Yankees. They play Santa Claus. They gave Boston their first win yesterday, so it was good. But Mets ain't going nowhere. They're lucky they won today, but they're not going anywhere.
I sent you a lady. You still want to go?
The who?
No. C-Wings, I sent you that information on the Jets. Give us the update on what's happening in pro football. And
right now, yesterday, there was a conference call between both sides, representing the players and the owners. They had a conference call with the judge in regards to trying to get back to negotiations.
Get back to square one.
They're back to square one. They haven't come to any agreement to continue to talk. The big difference in going back to talk is that the players want to negotiate under the court, under the supervision of the courts, because they feel they'll have a better chance to win an injunction against the owners.
Yeah.
The owners, on the other hand, want to negotiate under the supervision of a federal
I sent you an email that the thing happened the 21st. We will try to get out to that. In the background, the Jazz continues to play. You heard the audience. We continue to talk to them. We're waiting for Judith Shuler to join us here, as she will be here. But it's a red comic. It's the combo of sports and jazz. And you know, gentlemen, it's amazing how entertainment and sports so intertwined. I remember the late great Buck O'Neill said, you know, I never wanted to play in the white leagues. I just wanted the opportunity to tell him that I didn't want to. He says, I played against the best players. I ate in the finest restaurants. I saw the finest performers. Doc Stanley's What's Up on the Blake Radio Network Rainbow Social Sports After the Show. We're live at the Legion Post 602. It's a jazz night. It's entertainment. And my crew, whatever you bring them, they can handle it. See what you say for the
update. Let's congratulate also the New York Rangers today for clinching a spot in the postseason.
Oh, yeah, finally.
So we got the Rangers in the playoff. We got maybe the Islanders. But I tell you who's not going to make the playoffs. The Nets ain't going to make the playoffs.
They couldn't make the playoffs if they were off for the season.
The hands of Foligno, the legendary Foligno, who talked to us indefinitely for a while. Let me see if I can get a hold of Bill. Okay, that's Sal on the mic. Now let's go up and catch Sal live. We can catch Sal with his intro, what Sal's got to say.
Look, the ambassador of Harlem. There he is. Give a big hand for Foligno Clark, ladies and gentlemen. Foligno Clark. All right, we're going to call up now the birthday boy, the legendary Reuben Wilson, 76 years old today. Good day.
Live from the Dallas Post right here. 76 years old, Bill.
And, take my life, please. No, I'm with you. I take my life.
And on the guitar is Bill, who learned how to play from a cowboy.
I learned how to play when I was 9 years old. Cowboy, his name was Jack Reynolds. My father's saloon.
We'll be back with you later. Isn't that amazing? And now the man who sparred with Floyd Patterson is now on the organ. Okay. Okay, that's him. So not only could he fight, but he could handle the keys. You hear the sounds again. We're here live at the 602 Post. I'm going to give me a little something to eat. I'm going to step back and let maybe some boxing happen. I want to thank my panel for showing that it's more to you guys than X's and O's. That's your intellects and intellectuals, not only in the sweet science, but in the game of life. Gentlemen, I'm proud of you. Doc Stanley, Sports Depp of the Blake, ready to win most of the Sports Depp of the show. Big C has the controls. His daddy's in Columbia, so we may not see Big C's dad again. He gets in the wrong jumbles in Columbia. But as Don King said, only America. Okay, gentlemen, we...
Thanks, Doc.
we still got still a good hour to go here. All right, well, in the background, some music. I'm going to let you guys just roam and talk for a while. I'll be back shortly. And let's talk sports. Dusty.
Yeah.
Big C, Lady A, and
Little
Kilkel
Jr.
Gentlemen, take it away.
A.K.A. the great one, yes.
I'm going to take a little break. Break a leg. I'll be back shortly. Doc Stanley's watching up on the break. We're going to have a rainbow so much there for the show live at Legion Post 602. It's a night of jazz. The legends play. And you know what? My panel is legendary, too. Of course, I didn't mean you, Dusty.
I know. I'm ancient news. I would jump out something.
Hey, Dusty, you know what? There was,
yeah.
I took a leave with Neiman, you know, because Phil Clancy, he had a hip replacement. So they were...
are you kidding me? Wow.
Yeah, he had a hip replacement. I didn't know, so I'm going to call Leroy and talk to Lenny. He said, you know, he had done quite well with the hip replacement. And you know what? We kind of overlooked the 40 years of Ollie Frazier. 40 years of Ollie Frazier. So, okay, gentlemen, we'll talk a little bit. Let me go outside and get Sally real quick. Doc Stanley Sports Club on the break. Rainbow Sports Club on the show. Sal. It's, okay, we got Sal on the line. He's the man who is, right up here, made his home, and a man who was just a boxing himself. So, hold up, here we go.
Sal, this is every second Saturday.
Every second Saturday of the month, we do a live jazz show with the greatest jazz musicians that we can find. Play.
Tonight
we got the legendary Reuben Wilson. It's his birthday tonight, 76 years of age today. He's also in the movie Carmen Jones. He plays the fighter at the end of the movie. You can check him out. That's Reuben Wilson. He's the opponent for the guy who wins. We got the ambassador of Harlem, the great Celino Clark. We got all the way from Italy playing organ, Vito D'Amuzio. And we got the great Bill Wurzel on guitar, who played with the legendary Bill Honky Tonk Doggett, Wild Bill Davis, and the great Jimmy McGriff. These are the type of musicians that we have playing here on the second Saturday of every month. We have great food, $5 a plate. $2.50 for top shelf drinks. There's nowhere in New York City can you find a deal like that with no cover charge. Nowhere. And of course, we got the great Doc Stanley. He's going to be our MC on the show and do his comedy and anything else that he wants to do here. He's a great man, and we just want to build this place up and make it popular and make it happen for people who still love jazz music. And that's about what we really do here. It's a great place, and we welcome anybody and all. And I'm going to pass you the mic back to the Doc Stanley.
That is Doc Stanley Sports. Gentlemen, he wrapped it all up. This is what happened here. Every second Saturday of the month, he gave us the star-studded crew for the night, and... without that, I'm going to go and get me a little chicken dinner and let you talk sports. I'll be back shortly. Doc Stanley Sports Depp on the break. Better than a rainbow, so what's up now? Here is the guitar player kicking it live. The sound here. Boy, give me the music. Can I play better? 158. And y'all can talk a little sports. The Knicks are in. The Rangers in. What's happening with the what's Tiger Woods here in the Masters there, Dusty? Give me that. What's the latest on that there?
What's Tiger? What?
Tiger, where's he at? Five back, six back? Where did he shoot? Who? He shot a 500 today?
Who was that? I'm sorry.
Tiger Woods.
Tiger Woods? Well, he's I think he's number three now. He's pushing his way through, but he's still minus, what was it, minus six or minus seven.
So oh, okay, so.
Strike.
All right, so he finally made another birdie today.
Yeah, well, you know, he's in there. He's challenging. I didn't realize that he had won four or five Masters until I read his bio yesterday. But he's holding his own, and he should hopefully he doesn't die out or somebody else comes in and knocks him out.
Now, what lady is Lady A still with us? Oh no, I thought that was Deirdre. I thought that was Lady A. Okay, well.
Hey, one more quick thing, Doc, before you go. One more quick thing.
Yeah, good, buddy. Good one.
The retirement of Manny today. Manny being Manny.
Well,
yeah, the heck with Manny. I'll be going back to Washington, what is it, Washington Heights and open some bodega. I don't care what he does. It's a crap.
Hey, listen,
the retirement
you know what I mean?
Of Manny.
And somebody said today to you that was just crazy. Doc Stanley scored up on the blink. When we were so supposed to have said, you know, the guy is too talented and too
stupid.
And too, well, that's I'm listening, yo. And right, but to have to even necessitate to what was done. And, you know, the guy's been one of the great players in this game. But, you know, it's the funny thing that our good Bert Flowers always said that was funny. Bert Flowers always said, if everybody's taking steroids, who's cheating? And we talk about that. We're getting ready to get the finalization of the Barry Bonds trial. That's getting ready to go. They got one of the charges. They still have his friend and trainer incarcerated. And big news, Obama was in town, yes, him and Al Sharpton. But, yeah, Manny being Manny. I think Manny will be out of the game of baseball and definitely not be in the Hall of Fame. And the guy definitely has Hall of Fame credentials. Gentlemen, I'm going to take a break. And I'll be back with you in about 10, 15 minutes. So I'm pretty sure that you will find something to talk about without the doctor. I'll see you in 15. Doc Stanley Sports is next on the Blake Radio Network.
Manny B. Manny, he has a hall of infamy credentials. That's what he has.
New York will never live this down.
I can't stand the dude. But anyway, you guys want to talk boxing? I just saw a wipeout. This Robert Guerrero beat this Michael Katsidis, the Greek god, man. 12 out of 12 rounds, gave him a shutout. And now I'm waiting for the main event, which is Eric Morales. But anyway, next week we got Vicious Victor Ortiz against Andre Berto. I don't know why that fight came out. But what do you guys feel about that fight? I personally did not want that fight. I wanted Berto to save all his models and go after Pacquiao. Or maybe Floyd Mayweather, who last week I told you guys, he came out of hiding and says, I want Pacquiao, but you got to guarantee me $100 million. So what do you guys think about Berto and Ortiz? Hello?
Wilson, does he got the possibility for some top fights, but nobody wants to do the fight? We can't. Like
hello?
You said, we can't.
I asked, what do you guys think about next week's welterweight fight between Victor Ortiz and Andre Berto?
That's going to be good. That's going to be good.
Because
Berto's young. He's strong. Ortiz, you know, he's been around. Veteran.
Right.
Can punch. I don't know, man. I really haven't come down on either side just yet. But it has all the makings. It has all the makings to be a wild one, Doug. But you know Berto's coming in. You know Berto wants to look good at all costs, but he's right in the middle of the thick of getting on those big money fights that you're talking about with the Mayweathers and the Pacquiao. So he's right on the verge of the huge money, so you know he wants to look good.
Yeah. I don't understand why they even made this fight. Let's go. See, Golden Boy is promoting, has their own cable today. This is all a Golden Boy promotion here. You got all these fighters, and they gave us a pretty good card. I mean, we've been exposed to the main event, which perhaps was questionable, and then we have bums on the underneath. But these are some pretty lively cards, very competitive cards. Underneath cards. And like I said, the upset of the night, if you guys are familiar with this James Kirkland, they were trying to match him up with Sergio Martinez. And now he fights an unknown Japanese guy who's about 6'3", and this Japanese guy knocked him out in the first round.
Wow.
And I'm saying, holy cow, this is not the James Kirkland, this is not the Kirkland that I see walking through everybody. He had 28 fights, 24 knockouts, and the guy was, a monster. And they were grooming him for a title shot, but he gets blasted like an amateur.
Hey, Doug, I asked Doc something earlier. Not to interrupt, Doug. Doug, I asked Doc earlier something earlier in the week about two guys, about their potential. Even though they wound up getting championships at various times,
right.
I thought that they could have been better than actually even that they were. I want to bounce these two names off you right quick and see what you think when I hear them. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
The two names are Pinklin Thomas and Dynamite Dokes.
Oh, Jesus. Pinklin Thomas. That's one of my heroes from the old days, man. This Pinklin was a monster, man.
Yes.
He would knock you out with a jab or knock you out with a right hand until he ran into who the heck he ran into?
Finally beat him, but he was over the hill then.
Yeah.
Mike knocked him out, but Mike will admit that that Pink was fast as prime. But I always wondered, because there are problems with the substance abuses and the whole nine. And I wanted to know how good you think. And both of them actually had a piece of the title at one time.
Yeah, Michael Dokes
and a Dynamite Dokes. Yeah.
And
where would you throw Tim Witherspoon in with them?
Those were all the contemporaries at that time.
Right, they were.
Dokes, Witherspoon, all them guys fought around, the round robin of fighting each other. And, they were good at their time. Just that they, when they got to a certain level, They just didn't cross that so called bridge, to greatness.
Mm-hmm.
But within that up and coming, they were very good. And I thought Pinkley was going to go all the way, but
he should have had the tools. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I thought should have been way better than he was. My thing is, he probably got caught in the whole Ali mystique. But I really thought Greg Page was going to be the man for years to come. I also thought that Greg Page was going to be the man for years to come.
Well, Greg Page, that was the second coming of
Ali.
Of Ali.
He danced
and pranced and jabbed.
Fast hands.
It was just as fast and had a pretty good knockout, But, when you try to imitate, my feeling is this, when you try to imitate an already established person, you cannot, go into that person's mold and fight like him. Like if a trainer used to fight and he's trying to teach his fighter the way he used to fight, and it can never happen. Sure, he was a pretty close imitation, let's put it this way, of Muhammad Ali, who had established that dancing and fast and shuffle, but he wasn't a Muhammad Ali. But he was pretty good at the time that he came through.
Because that was his idol growing up with the Louisville
right.
thing.
Right,
and
Louisville, and everybody said the new catches here.
And something does get great at what you just said. Because I remember when the great Bruce Lee had passed away. There was this big old rush over and to try to find the next Bruce and all kind of Bruce imitators. So they had a guy that they thought was pretty close to his style, and they nicknamed him Bruce Lee, L-E instead of L-E-E. Whose real name escaped me at the moment,
but the guy was a heck of a martial artist. And he said he hated, you know, using Bruce Lee's name, Bruce Lee.
Right.
And to try to play him in his place. But he said just what you just finished saying. He said, you know, I can play Bruce Lee, but I can't be Bruce Lee.
Be Bruce Lee. But let me ask you a question. Didn't Bruce Lee, now I could be mistaken, but didn't Bruce Lee's son got involved in the same business?
And
I don't think he really cut it that high as his father. And I don't know, there was some controversy there where I think he got he got killed.
There was something where some guys supposedly shot him,
right.
And the prop guy didn't cap the bullets properly or
exactly. Right.
Some such thing, and he already died during filming.
Yeah, exactly.
And no one was ever charged in that either.
Right. So that basically what I'm saying is that, sure, Paige was great, so were Dokes and all them guys, but they reached a certain limit and they did get a piece of the so-called heavyweight title that at that time began to be split like a sliced bread, but they never got to the point of being the big man on the mountain, you know. And speaking of heavyweights, I mean, here in the United States, we can forget the word heavyweight because we don't have anything here.
We don't have to speak of. I mean,
we have nothing. In fact, what is it? David Hayes is finally going to fight Vladimir, the younger brother, because it was a toss-up. Vitaly wanted David Hayes. Vladimir wanted David Hayes. So they came to an agreement that Vladimir would fight David Hayes first because David Hayes had insulted him and insulted
okay,
his
hold on, fellas. Hold on, time. My dinner's not ready, so I got another musician here. So we're going to talk to him real quickly. Doc Sandy, Sports
yeah.
Net on the Blake. We're
talking
about Rainbow
sports,
so Sports Net for the show. And what's your full name now?
Mark. We're talking boxing here.
Okay, listen. Just say, ding, 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 ding. Sit on the stool. Hold on a second. And I've got, hold on. Just grab the
phone.
Hello, how are you?
What's your name?
Mark.
Hi, how are you?
You put a mouth.
Yes, sir.
Why the
monica? Monica is a great instrument.
Because
you feel it. You can feel the blues. It's just a lot of it had to do with Celino Clark, but he caught me playing one night. Yeah, and actually I had a club downtown, and he played there. I had a couple guys in there while I was cleaning up. Every night they'd come in and just play organ and guitar. So every once in a while I would just chime in with him. And then one time Celino slipped in there unexpectedly and showed up and decided that to catch us off guard there. And he says, you know, hey, yeah, thank you very much. He said, hey, what are you doing, man? You're holding out on me. I said, no, this is just a little personal thing. And then every time he came into the club, he called me up. I had to play with him, and now I'm going all around the Bronx with him, playing in Manhattan, and it's his fault. But it's a great thing. Music is a great escape. It's a way to relieve the stress of today's life. And I'm glad to have met Celino. I'm glad to everyone he introduces me to. Just more and more good people. I think Harlem is the epicenter of music.
Always.
It's New York State, man. Can't find a better place in New York State to find good music. That's it. So,
where are you from originally?
I grew up upstate, Warwick, but I work in the city. Started working in 146th Street in Lenox, Harlem, and just grow to be part of the community. Even though I wasn't born here, I'm part of the community.
Did you always back jazz? What kind of music?
As I grew up, I was always into rock and roll, blues. And Celino will tell you he's a jazz person, but he's really, it's not lying, but Harlem has its own kind of music. And it's a cross between jazz and blues. Harlem groove. That's what it is. that's the real bridge, at least the way I see it. So I'm glad to be here tonight. Glad to speak to you people. I'm glad you gave me a couple minutes to interview. And
hey, it's been our pleasure. We thank you for keeping the history and the Renaissance alive.
Yeah. It's only beginning. Harlem is on its way back. Give Harlem another 15 years, man. It's going to be the capital of New York City.
Well, like you said,
probably the capital of New York State.
Well, it's always been, like you said, the epicenter of, our musical history here. And, we have the greats like you, to always remind us of that. We thank you for that.
Sure thing. Sure thing. I'm glad to... Glad to be a part of it, glad to help out, and if there's anything I can do in the future, just contact Celino, contact me. I'm there with you.
All righty. Again, we can't thank you enough. It's been a pleasure.
Sure enough.
Hold on 1 second. I got
to I'll be in my
figure head. I had to sign out here. Just wanted to, Oh, let me grab anyone here. You know what they say in the from the blues guys. Okay, thank you very much. Right? All right. Bye now.
I didn't know it was someone there. I thought it was just doing that on
the story. Dr. Snelly sports left on the Blake. Hey, he got him, and the thing about it, you're talking about Salido. When I went outside, he's on the first day, he said, hey man, you didn't talk to him. He's an other Monica player, you know what I mean? And it's what you like, the epicenter of music coming back, and thanks so much. Thanks so very much. Yeah. It's just, okay, yeah, thanks. This has been just such an Deirdre got here. She's here. But, it's been a hell of a night, Gary. Do I get an amen or something here? Are you still with me?
Hello? Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, well, look. I'm going to go let you finish this. Ding, ding, ding. Okay, let the round resume. I'll be back shortly. Doc Stanley, Sports and Info on the Blink. Big C, are you there? Did you play that promo for us earlier? Did you play that promo in here?
Yeah, I can.
Yeah, okay. So, you know what? Give us one more promo. And then we'll get back to a little boxing. I'll be back shortly. They just brought the chicken and the french fries. I got to go, gentlemen, but I'll be back. Dr. Stanley, what's in that on the Blake? Right, another way, Tiger Woods is in the hunt at the U.S. Open. The Knicks are in. The Yankees and the Mets win. The Rangers are in. Well, everybody can't be in the Nets. Well, maybe the Nets are in the hunt for the...
next year.
Yeah, well, maybe they're in the hunt for the number
one pick.
I tell you something. You're looking at the playoff setup. And, Shaquille O'Neal, when the Boston got him and Jermaine O'Neal, it was like, wow, they were stacked, they were loaded. Right now, the power shift goes back to Miami, gentlemen. Ronnie, what do you think?
Yeah. I think you're pretty much right in the fact that, and then the trade that they made also, their most recent trade, the thing that Boston will always have going for them is they have all those grizzled vets, Doc. They have all those grizzled vets who've been there before. So say what you will about Boston, they do have the experience. They've been there. They have what I think is a fantastic coach in Doc Rivers.
Ronnie, you took the thoughts right out of my mind. A fantastic coach, a guy who's won a championship, who doesn't get any kudos, and you're right. We'll lose a draw. They're still a dangerous team. They're still capable of winning it all. But what's amazing, regardless, and last month this time, or 2 months ago, it looked like that the San Antonio Spurs were going to win 70 games and run away with it. And right
now, it sure looked like they run away.
Yeah, but they're going to make the playoffs, but they're not the super team that they throw in. But here's a team that nobody's talking about, but could be, and we're talking about, we're not talking about what Pippen, Jordan, and Rodman. Just the Chicago Bulls have emerged as a power in the NBA.
Yeah, they have, Doc, and they look good.
and they may have a player of the year in their own right over there. Chicago is going to be a tough out for anybody. Chicago is going to be a tough out.
Surprise.
I tell you, Miami's not going to make it too far. I can tell you that right now.
See,
I don't see that they're in disarray. I mean, you got a guy like LeBron James. In my opinion, he's not a clutch player. The only person on that team that's going to have a ring is Dwayne Wade.
Yeah.
Is going to probably, he's 8 years in, no ring. This team they put together, I don't see it.
No? You don't want to talk? Okay.
But you got LeBron James who has personal problems. His mother turned into a Floyd Mayweather.
Oh yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'm telling you, she's getting beating up parking attendants and getting arrested, drunken driving, the whole crap. So he's going to spend all his money in Miami Heat on his mother bailing her out. Yeah.
Well, you know, Dusty, I think you've been a little hard there. Doc Stanley Sports up on the Blake
Bitter. You know, they laud her as the mother who took care of LeBron James, but now she's tearing him down. I mean, come on. Then this guy's going to worry about it, you know. It's so ridiculous.
You know what killed me about that? Panel, and see, especially I want to bounce this off you, is what kills me is, all right, they've had a chance to play together now for basically a season.
Why you want to bounce this off the seat?
I'm going to blow my thing, I'm not going to be able to remember it. Is they've had basically a whole season to play together, and if you look at them come crunch time, they still look like they're out of Los Angeles, so we should get the bill come crunch time. Is it you? Is it me? Where should we be? I mean, they should have figured out those issues long ago by now.
Okay, Rooney, here's the question. Did Pat Riley make a mistake in getting LeBron?
You know something, Doc? I'm not prepared to say that just yet. I want to give them some more time, and I want to give them a full year, Doc, and a full training, another full year and full camp. But I will say this, Doc. They don't seem to be meshing as I thought they would by now. You know, the same thing with Carmelo and, Amiri. I want to give them a whole fresh training camp. And, I want to give them a whole year to play together. You know, that way they'll get their spacing together and the whole nine. But I'm surprised that by now, Miami.
Here's a question, John. Here's a question. And I'm going to slide back up. Okay. Is Barry Bonds guilty, Rooney? Yes or no?
No, they got no case about it. He may be guilty, but they'll never prove it. They got no case.
Dusty?
Of course he's not guilty. But, you know, you got all these snitches. Snitches get stitches. Who are talking about the fact that, yes, this girl, he says, yeah, well, I know he was taking steroids because his private parts shrunk, and he was aggressive, and he was hyper, and he couldn't sleep at night. And you look at those statements, and being that they want to bury him in the first place, well, they take that as gospel, and jury said, well, yeah, he had to be dirty. I mean, come on. They took away the most prolific home run hitter in the entire history of baseball.
Barry Bonds is 800 home runs if they didn't blackball him. You hear me?
They did. They blackballed him, man.
They destroyed his career. I think he's innocent. And what will shock you all on the panel is this. Each count, listen to what I'm saying. Each count, and Doctor, you'll appreciate this. Each count carries a 10-year max sentence.
Yeah.
10 years
for a prison.
They weren't trying to get back. They weren't trying to get that kind of time to Al Capone. Lady A is here.
Lady A in the house.
What's happening?
Lady A in the house.
I'm busy here watching boxing, man. I'm ready for this big fight right now.
Well, okay. Well, give us the latest insight right now. Hey, it's your Lady A. It's your floor. Take it away.
Listen, I know Dusty's watching. I can't believe Kirkland got knocked out. Did you see that?
We just thought about that.
Oh yeah, Kirkland. This unknown Japanese.
Hey Dusty. He ain't unknown no more.
he got even from World War II.
But I gotta tell you one thing. I was very impressed with Paulie Malignaggi's.
Did you see that? Body?
He looked phenomenal.
He was just killing this guy. You were saying what Dusty said.
But he was doing things. He was killing this guy with a jab, and then you see when he was throwing the jab, he was coming off with that left hook.
Exactly.
Right. I mean,
it's amazing that you said it because he talked about how Buddy McGirt just wasn't the right trainer for him.
Well, I disagree. You know, Buddy McGirt gave him what he has today.
That's my opinion.
Wow.
From the great words of Doc Stanley, the key to boxing is to hit and not get hit. I mean, he showed he had everything in that fight tonight. He really did.
Yeah.
And new promoter, because he's not with Lou DeBell anymore. New promoter. He's with Golden Boy now.
No, he's gone.
New trainer. I mean, he really showed like he's really back. He's back in the game now.
And he really did.
Came
of 147 pounder.
Can he beat Khan in a rematch?
I got to tell you something. I got to tell you this. Maidana came back in that fight against Khan and showed me that he had a little something, and that Khan is not impervious to pain.
I don't think Khan is, and
Khan would be a great fight. I really do. Yeah. I think him at this weight would be a good fight. I think Paulie could probably take him. I really do.
Right. Yeah.
You agree?
If they fight rematch at 47,
I gotta go with
Malignaggi.
Today,
let me tell you something. He stood and traded punches with Cotto, and he hit him. I mean, his jab was a piston. Now, if they rematch with Khan, maybe it'll be a different story, because now he has a little more weight, even though he still can't punch, and he throws his punches in good direct combination.
Okay, Doc, one more thing to add to that.
Let's not forget, Malignaggi has a heart. I mean, he went the whole way with Cotto, and he took punches.
He took punches against Cotto, so heart
can get you killed in this game.
It could get you killed, but he showed that he could still stand up.
Panel, okay. We can't make Mayweather and Pacquiao. Can we do Malignaggi and Pacquiao?
That's ridiculous. I wouldn't even do that.
I don't think they were talking about it tonight.
They were talking about it tonight. That Mayweather was looking to fight Malignaggi, and then there was talk of Pacquiao and Malignaggi. That's the most ridiculous conversation I heard in the whole fight card. I mean, it's ridiculous. I wouldn't put this kid, as much as I like him, as much guts as he has, to get slaughtered by these freaking guys.
He's not at that level. I don't think he's at the level where Pacquiao and Mayweather.
I mean, he's not at the level, but I'm just talking about if they can't fight each other, maybe one of them can fight him. And Dusty, you just talking about it.
I don't think
a fight like that would even go past the fourth round, Dusty. What do you think? I don't think it would go past the fourth round.
First of all, the fight would not even draw flies, except me. Number two, it won't go, like you said, Lady A, it won't go past four, that's too much. It won't even go past two. I mean, that's ridiculous, man. Paulie can take a shot, but he cuts. They'll battle him all over the place, man.
Not only that, but let's not forget, too, he's always had glass hands. I mean, he's always had glass hands, so even tonight, I don't even know at the end. Did you catch that at the end of the fight,
Dusty,
what he did with
his hands? He was showing his hands. His hands were hurt.
Yeah.
Paulie's problem is, much like Pernell Whitaker in the past,
he's a stylist, but he can't break an egg.
Exactly.
Right,
exactly.
Right.
Exactly. And, you know, you can't go 12 rounds with a dude's throwing rocks at you, man. It's going to hurt you. Look at that. This guy, Cotto, who's a pretty good puncher, staggered him in the first round.
Yeah,
once.
He did.
And then he cut him up. All the way through the fight, the bear's cut on both eyes. How long do you think he lasted a Pacquiao? To nowhere.
Yeah.
Who's always coming forward,
Yeah. But no, it's I like Foley. Maybe he have found a new life on the Golden Boys, getting some key fight, because after this victory, he said he wants to go after one of the contenders at 47. Man, the contenders are Berto, Victor Ortiz, and Luis Castillo, or Luis Collazo. Who else is up there? You know, but certainly stay away from the Mayweather's and Pacquiao. You know.
Well. I mean, I thought that last fight went pretty good. I mean, Cassidy's got, that kid is unbelievable. He was getting hit with ridiculous shots, and he stayed in that fight. You know?
Exactly.
I mean, that guy Guerrero looked good. I mean, listen, you know, I think in the lower weight classes, you still got a lot of good fighters.
Man, let me tell you something. If you look at the schedules, you got the big fours, the freaking Bantamweight, D'Artagnan, and Segura. And all these guys are monsters, man.
Yep.
And people only talk about the stupid heavyweights that are invisible here in New York. They don't even exist. That's a dead breed here. But you got the little guys. The 40 pounders.
Let's
the
not forget Nonito Donaire.
Oh,
I mean, come on, that kid was unbelievable.
And Chris John. And you got Juanma Lopez, who's fighting, I think, next week. Gamboa. You can forget Iron Boy. Iron Boy got plastered again last week. So, but you got the little guys who are fighting and giving you a run for the money. You know, and of course, you got the guys who want to stay around, like Pascal and Hopkins. And, did you see this guy, David Lemieux from.
Not the music's quiet down.
From Canada?
No, I didn't.
Knocked him out.
Yeah?
And this guy was undefeated. 25 fights and 24 knockouts. The big shot of Canada, Marcos Rubio, who got knocked out by Kelly Pavlik, flattened this dude.
Hold on, gang. Hold on, real quick. I got to get behind, get the organist, the man who did that Moody's Moods for Love, real quick. What's your name?
Greg. Greg, the Professor Woods.
And you organ player, too?
Yeah, organ player, piano player, yes, singer.
How long?
For about 30 years.
Why the piano, why the organ, not a guitar, not a drum, not a trumpet?
Well, the piano I started out on because I used to like the guy with Lawrence Welk. He played the accordion, and they didn't order accordion in the school, so I learned the piano. In the organ, I met Jimmy McGriff on a cruise, and he got me kind of into the organ, him and Jimmy, Jack McDuff, who I did some recording with, and... And I later met Jimmy Smith, so.
You can sing a little bit, too.
Yeah.
You love the inspirations, idols.
And piano, Donnie Hathaway, Herbie Hancock. On the organ, of course, Jimmy McGriff, Groove Holmes, I used to hang out with all the time. Jack McDuff, I used to hang out with him all the time. He showed me a lot of stuff. And, of course, Jimmy Smith.
You appreciate it for the music. It seems to never die.
Oh, no, I love it. That's what I do for a living. I had a full scholarship to law school, and I decided to become a musician, and I never looked back.
Really?
Yeah.
What law school?
University of Wisconsin.
Wow.
So I graduated from a degree in business and in Afro-American studies. I got 2 degrees. So, but this, I've been doing this since 76, full-time.
Travel abroad?
Yeah, I travel all over the world, all over the country with different acts and different people like that, yeah.
Been to Brazil?
No, I've been to Brazil, yeah. That's one of the places I want to go.
Appreciation of the music maybe a little higher and
once you leave America.
Why?
Because it's not indigenous. They take it for granted here because they see it all the time. There it's an import, and so people are more excited about hearing it. They've listened to it like the British, Mick Jagger and Keith Richards. They thought, you know, they couldn't wait to play with me because they wanted to play with a true American black artist, you know, blues artist and stuff. So, you know, they're excited about that. And you think Mick Jagger, he's the most famous rock player in the, you know, but they love this stuff. They grew up on it. Same thing, Bruce Springsteen used to come and hang out with me all the time because he just loved, you know, working with Gary Osborne.
That whole British invasion was influenced by Muddy
Waters. Muddy Waters
and American
artists. And Robert Johnson, Eric Clapton, all those guys loved that music. So.
Thanks a lot.
All right, no problem, man.
And it continues, and he's hitting it off a little bit. Okay. We'll get the Cowboy Man a little later. And they're still playing. They're still here. Deirdre. And there he is. Now, you know, we've had a set of organ players.
players. Had the champ. He's a. Actually, this is the one who did the Moody's Room for Love. This is him kicking it on the organ. So, just listen in.
Jesus Christ, did you see that?
Yep.
Eric Morales' right eye is already shut.
Yep.
You wanted to be here, but you couldn't be here. But, did you surely finally got here? We've got, another 20 minutes going here. But, it's live, kind of live, but the first lady of entertainment on Blake Radio, Lady D, finally got here. Huh?
Hey, Doc, did you see that shot?
Okay, yeah, you call it. Big C, open up on the lines. Lady is going to call, and Joey is here. As we get to the line, what's the name of the name special? At the Daniel 602. Let me make sure you get her in. Doc, Danny's worth it. What am I going to do? What's the difference in the show? And she brought a friend with her. Hold on.
Hey, Dusty, you saw that? Dusty, you saw that shot?
Yeah. I'm watching it. I'm watching it. I thought Morales was going to come out with the same.
Okay, William. But you know, what I love about my panel is when I step away, they still keep going. You know what I mean?
Oh my God! Did you just see that, Dusty?
Yep.
What happened now?
Now he's fighting back, but his right eye is closed.
Who's this, Dusty? What fight is this now?
Eric Morales and Marcos Maidana, the almost conqueror of Khan, is fighting Eric Morales.
You know the amazing thing about this? This is sports in depth. See, with us, we did NFL football. In fact, the first show we did live on location was me and C Wings Thanksgiving Day at Shea Giant State Jets for Jets.
Come on, Eric. Jesus.
That's the third towel in, baby. You can't beat this combination tonight.
No, I'm going to go to the corner and slap the crap out of him to wake him up. He's letting my daughter bully him. And I thought he was going to come out better than
Big
that.
Big C, there should be another phone call coming in. You should have another call coming in. See you there? Big C?
Oh, wow. Yeah. Look at that.
Oh,
meeting.
My God.
Huh? Yep. Look at that meeting.
I'm here.
Now, Eric is finished.
Okay, how much is it?
Well,
doesn't matter, bro.
Oh no, Dusty.
Yep, he's finished. He hurt my dollar this time. Hit him again.
Big C,
I can barely hear.
Big C, we should be able to call come in. Big C, you got the call coming in.
What is that, John?
Oh my
you?
God.
Was that
what is that for you?
Yeah, he's
going to
stop because that
eye's going to be closed.
Yep.
See? Well, he's a Moroccan, so, he's just waiting fast.
Can you hear me?
Did he pick it up?
Yep.
Yeah. Did you got Deirdre? Lady D?
Hi, everybody. This is Lady D, Deirdre Schuler. I'm hanging out here at the American
Legion. Senior Young Post 620. Lady D, as you know, is our first lady of arts and entertainment here on the Blake Radio Network. In fact, first lady of arts and entertainment every place we've been. And so, our radio, the Beacon, Black Sports. It's been a jazz night, Lady D.
Yeah, it's jazz
right
night.
Right now,
here.
We've got, we've had.
Well, we're listening to Bill Wartell.
Yeah, Wartell, his organization.
Wartell,
yeah.
Actually, I should say. And his organization. And this is really wonderful because basically he has a lot of organ players tonight.
Yeah. It's been organ night.
Bill is a guitarist.
He's a guitarist, but he learned. He said his father, boy, a cowboy. He was 9 years old, boy, a cowboy. on the ranch or something like that. The cowboy taught him two chords, and he's been playing guitar ever since then.
My goodness.
He learned how to play a guitar from a real live cowboy. He said he was so impressed with the attire. He taught him two chords, and he's been playing guitar ever since then.
Well, as you can hear, he learned the guitar very, very well.
Mm-hmm. And now Vito is here with his drummer, they're from Italy, live from Italy here tonight to play.
Yeah,
Ruben
his
Wilson.
Name is Vito DiMondongo.
DiMondongo. Ruben Wilson tonight celebrates his 76th birthday.
Wow.
He is not only
tonight.
Yeah, tonight. Not only celebrating the birthday, but he sparred against the late great Floyd Patterson, and in the movie Carmen Jones.
You're right. He was at the end of the movie.
Yeah, that's him. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
He was at the end of the movie. So Leo Clark, legend in his own right, another organist. He spoke with us earlier.
Well, Harry Belafonte was in Carmen Jones.
Carmen, and Dorothy Dandridge.
And Dorothy Dandridge.
Yeah, yeah. So.
And we got Selena Clark.
Yes, Selena Clark. He was there. He talked to us in depth earlier. Early part of the show, he got a chance to talk to us.
Well, you know, Selena is also in Manhattan at the American Legion. He does it every Sunday.
Oh, he's always there?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, that's another spot we can hit too, gang,
mm-hmm.
on Sundays.
Every Sunday, he's in Manhattan on 38th Street.
138th, yeah. Then he was here.
Mm-hmm.
No,
the American Legion.
Let me find out. Well, you keep talking. I think we have to get the exact
and
address
you know,
of that.
And, also performing tonight is another guitarist and harmonica player. Enrico Granfaye, and I understand he comes in from Italy, as does Vito Dimon, and I,
mm-hmm.
I'm trying to pronounce this correctly,
mm-hmm.
Mo Dugno. And, you know, they're supposed to have some surprise guests tonight. Fabio Morgara is going to be on the trumpet. And, well, so far, the crowd is pretty good. The music is wonderful, and there's so much noise. I'm crowded in a space where I can talk to you guys on the radio and also talk about the beautiful music and hear it in the background. And
yes.
I think
Ruben,
if you can hear it too.
Just real quick, I want to give a shout out to the other drummer who joined. What's your name?
Masahiro.
How long you been playing drums?
20 years.
Why?
I don't know, just, you know, I like to listen. But, you know. John Coltrane.
Yeah, all
your
dancers out there?
Boy. And we've had a heck of a night here. We still got scooped up 10, 15 minutes. I want to thank Big C at the controls. And nobody can tell you better than Big C, Charlie Charlie. I've always my panel. The incomparable.
Well, I want to tell the people that every once a month they do this at 1530 Hutchinson River Parkway, and that's in the Bronx. And some of you can get on the train. I think it's the 6. Get on the 6 train to Middletown Road. Walk 2 blocks to the American Legion, Samuel H. Young Post. 620.
For the kids.
And you can eat for $5 and drink for $2.50. Best bargain in town.
Sounds great. My way to come down there right about now.
Okay, bro, look.
Hey, Doc, eat for $5 and drink for $2.50. Hey, whistle me in.
What's that now? Oh, yeah, I got dead to the front. No, was that you, Rooney?
Yeah, Doc, I said, hey, drinks for $2.50, one for $5. Hey, whistle me in, Doc. Good food for $5 and, hey, drinks.
Oh, yeah, yeah, you can't beat it.
Melodious.
Can't beat it. And if you take the number 6 train, it puts you 2 blocks away. 2 blocks
and
away.
And that's Ruben Wilson on Morgan.
Let me get
him. He's pushing this guy back the whole fight. You watching this?
Yep.
He's pushing him the whole fight.
On guitar.
Hello,
He's got every round so far, Dusty.
Yeah.
This is real
hockey time. Yes. 88, 93, one way at the same time. And it doesn't stop. It's going to. Oh, hello? Can you hear me, guys?
Yeah.
Huh? We got another
10 minutes. He just finished playing Poco Rado. Is that a Carlos Holbeam too?
Have they got the fight results in?
Dusty, I think he's got every round so far.
Every round so far?
Yeah.
I think he's got every round so far, Madonna.
Yeah.
Mm.
They're going to stop it.
Well.
Can you guys hear me?
Hey, Doc, they play Brazilian music now.
What's that?
Can you guys hear me?
They play Brazilian music. It's not like you're playing Poco Rado.
Hello?
Yeah. Who we got?
We got cut off.
Who got Seawing? Or you doing it back? You back in?
Yeah, I got back on.
A lot of people are talking about. Everybody talking about the Pacquiao Mayweather fight. If they were to fight, who would you put to win that fight, Ruben? Between Pacquiao and Mayweather.
Oh, I like
Mayweather.
Why? Well, from what I've seen, you know, I'm not that familiar with the other guy, but you know, you never can tell. But tight game, man. Anybody might slip one in if they're not careful.
Okay, I got a fight card. I'm going to mention the point, and you give me the winners. Because that guy came with the card. Mike Tyson against Joe Frazier. Who wins that fight?
Wow, that's a difficult one to suggest. I kind of like Frazier, though, but I don't know. That's
my
hard
God.
One. Okay, you gave me one.
Yeah.
Okay, Rocky Marciano against George Foreman.
George Foreman.
Probably. Oh, man, that's a tricky one.
George
Foreman. It's kind of hard to go against George, but it's hard to go against Rocky, too, man. Because Rocky was, you know, George being a big guy like he is, Rocky being kind of a small heavyweight, sometimes a small heavyweight is difficult to really get a good shot on. But George might hit him on top of the head and beat him.
The next one, we've got Antonio Gatti against Julio Cesar Chavez.
Oh, I like Julio Cesar Chavez. You know.
Jermaine Taylor against Tito Trinidad.
Now, that's difficult. I'm not that familiar with that. But I like the name Trinidad.
Sugar Ray Leonard against Sugar Ray Robinson.
Sugar Ray Robinson. Absolutely Sugar Ray Robinson.
Was Ollie the best heavyweight team you ever saw?
You know, that's really difficult to say. Because I did manage to see Joe Louis' film, you know. And you can't just throw out Joe Frazier either, you know. Because Ali beat Frazier, though, you know. So it's difficult to... Frazier was quite a fighter, I think, man.
No, Agata was a great fighter, too. I think he's the best of all the Latin fighters. Roberto Duran?
Yeah, Roberto was a great fighter. Yeah, I had the pleasure of meeting him, too.
Yeah.
I didn't have to fight him, though.
Happy birthday. Thanks so much for being with us.
Well, thank you so much.
Happy birthday, Ruben.
Yeah, he gave us the rundown. Not a politician, too. We're closing in about another 10 minutes. And it's unbelievable, you know, because we thought at first... maybe doing a 10:30 show because Jimmy was in at 10:30, and we thought maybe 2 hours was going to be too long. And as always with this panel, no amount of time is sufficient. I mean, we could probably do a marathon, and Dusty would still have three questions when we'd be closing the show. So, you know, hold on, Doc. I got to get another question here, but I'm Deirdre is still looking at the numbers. You know, Ruben is 76 years old today, sparred with Floyd Patterson. And he sparred with Patterson before Patterson won the title. I'm trying to think of who did Patterson win the title from, Dusty? It wasn't Archie Moore, was it?
Yes, he won it from Archie Moore.
In a box off, okay.
Yeah,
okay,
so it, like an elimination or something.
Right.
He knocked out Archie Moore with a left hook.
How many more minutes?
Hey, Doc.
Oh. Yeah, we got five. Yeah.
Hey, Doc. Since we're on the subject of boxing, and
yeah.
we talk about the fighters, the trainers, the referees. Does anybody have an update on Judge Mills Lane? I know he's retired from boxing and he has some health issues, but...
I think Mills passed away a couple of years ago, right, Dusty?
No, though. Mills Lane, he's still alive, I think, but he retired from refereeing,
okay.
And he was a judge or district attorney or something.
He was a judge, yeah. I mean, he got a serious case of something,
He was very ill for a long time.
Yeah, he was ill for a while.
He had a stroke, but... We haven't heard anything too much about him after that.
Well, you know, boxing. If you can't do nothing for me lately, you know, later for you.
Let me
but,
tell you something
yeah.
about Mills Lane, Doc. Of course, I talked to Mike Tyson personally in regard to the Holyfield air incident,
mm-hmm.
among other things. And Mills Lane had reffed that fight, one of those fights. I'm trying to remember if it was Tyson, Holyfield 1 or 2. But, you know, I asked him about that. He said, hey, man, I'm complaining to Lane. The guy's headbutting me all over the place and hit me with elbows. I'm yelling at Mills Lane. He's saying, shut up, Tyson, fight. Shut up and fight. So, you know, something, Doc, what I did was I took it upon myself to watch every reel of that film between them, sound down and in slow motion. And I'm not saying I'm going to, you know, obviously I'm not going to excuse Mike for his actions. And obviously I'm not saying this because I know the guy.
Rudy, it's a known fact that Holyfield was known to be a notorious headbutter.
Mills Lane did nothing. I watched every reel of that fight with the sound down. And I have to say,
oh my God,
that Mike makes a hell of a point. As far as other training mills did a lot of these
Oh, my goodness.
Fights.
Are you watching this, Dusty?
Yep, he's coming back. He's coming back, bro.
Who, Morales is coming back?
Morales.
Big C, how much time we got left here, Big C?
Wow!
But as you say that Holyfield was known for being a notorious headbutter.
Yeah.
If you look at Galata, he was responsible for that near riot in that match against Riddick Bowe.
He did headbutt Bowe. In fact, he was beating Bowe. Because I remember watching that fight. And I was sitting ringside, and I saw the guard escorting the guy out. And then when the melee broke out, I looked. That same guy was in the middle of the ring fighting. I don't know how he got in the middle of the ring, but he was up in the ring fighting. But Galata's situation was different. He wasn't a headbutter. And more importantly, a lot of people...
Look, Galata was drawing low blows all over the place.
What's that?
I think Galata was drawing low blows all over the place.
I mean, still with the low blows, he still was winning the fight. I mean, if you gave the round for the low blows, he was beating Bowe to death.
Yeah, he was beating
Bowe. They saw the low blows as sort of self-destructive. But, I mean...
The announcer said he was beating
Bowe. Okay, then.
Yeah, I mean the low blows have nothing to do with headbutting. And both those fights, he was winning. Hold on.
Okay.
That's the Matrosi thing. We've got okay with the Dear Lord, and we will once again close out this segment. First Lady of Entertainment and Blake Radio.
Well, before we close out, I want to tell people that the next show is going to be on Saturday, May 14th, and that's going to be at the American Legion Samuel Young Post 620, and they start their festive occasion at 7:30 p.m. and you can come down at 1530 Hutchinson River Parkway in the Bronx. It's not that far, folks.
Number 6 train to Milton Road and just walk 2 blocks over.
And this show was produced by Golden Note Productions, and that is Sal Pignon. And you know what? It's great. And every second Saturday each month, there'll be more talent and new talent. So make sure that you come. And you've been listening to Deirdre Shuler, and I'm going to sign off because this is Doc Shell.
Well, we're going to close it. Live your life today and stand before God tomorrow. Life's purposes, but urgent questions. What are you doing, brothers? Trust in God. Larry Hollenstein, take it away, my brother.
This concludes another edition of Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley. We thank you for listening and encouraging you to tell a friend about Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley. You can hear that and many other great programs on the Blake Radio Network. Have a great day.
Bye-bye, everyone.
And with that panel, Dusty, tell everybody good night and say it in English.
Good night. Good night. Buenas noches. And thank you for the chicken. I should have had a Happy Meal without a toy. Come on, man.
Listen, I got the toy, and you'd be just happy you got a meal. Hey, everybody, say goodnight to Deirdre, too.
Night, Deirdre.
Uh-oh.
Have a good night, Deirdre.
Good night, Deirdre.
They're still saying good night. Gang, Big C, thanks a lot. It's been a great show, as they always have been. We'll be back here next month this time. We'll be back at the end tomorrow night with our sports weekend wrap-up. So the gang or the crew will all be back there tomorrow. Doc Stanley, Sports is Up on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Zone. Sports is Up for the show. Trust in God. Dusty, once again, tell everybody goodbye.
Good night, folks. Thanks. Let's get together again and talk some more sports and jazz.